I want to talk about several inyonim, dealing first with Hilchus Gezeila, and then devaluation and inflation. And I've discovered that the whole sugya is confusing, to say the least. And either I'm confused, or some of the materials that I have been reading are very, very confused. There are a lot of teshuvas, some early Svardish teshuvas, a number of others written during the rampant inflation after World War II. In many of the cases, I simply can't figure out the metzius. And just a minute ago, I had problems with a psalm surface. I think I told somebody last week. I just saw exactly 2 minutes ago a teshuva in the Melamed Lahayil. One paragraph, the tshuva says that you have to know what the matbeis were that the Chassam Sofer was talking about, and he proceeds to tell you what the matbeis are. I haven't read the tshuva, and I don't know what the matbeis were. And that's part of the problem. I didn't understand what, I don't know what the metzias was. The metzias was so confusing. In any event, in going through some of this material, some things that originally struck me as being extremely bizarre not only became understandable, but became poshut. And I don't think that it's, I think it's probably because of, at least in part, because of my confusion with regard to a lot of this. But in any event, let me start. I want to start, and it's, in a sense, it's a continuation of last time as well. I want to begin, first of all, with how a gazlan is mechiv to pay. Now, everybody knows he has to pay kishas exele. Mechaber, and the places we spoke about last time, the distinction between havoah and gezel. The problem is, how are you mishayir shas ha'gzeila? It would seem to me, and to a certain extent, it still seems to me, that if a goslin breaks, or forget a goslin, take a simple matzah. If a goslin will only take a shas ha'gzeila if he can't say harei shalachol fanecha. If a goslin or a simple matzah breaks a ming vaz, he becomes mechuyiv in the shavius of a ming vaz. How do we assess the value of a ming vaz? Whatever you would have to pay for it at the time that it was broken. Now, what if he broke it during a period of inflation, and now before Hamot al-Adin, the price of the ming vaz went up 100%, 1,000%, who knows how many percent. To me, it would seem as a dover poshut that your mishayir, the shavius of the vase in kesef, how much silver would it have taken at that moment to replace the vase? You then take that quantity of silver and translate it into the present currency, and he will pay as much currency that it takes now to buy that quantity of silver. And now again, remember the silver fluctuates too. But if we are on a silver standard, as Lefeira, after Rebbe's Halacha B'Ziknusay, we are on a silver standard, then you have to be Mishayir Kishas HaGzeila, not in some strange Matbeah, and part of the confusion is I don't know what currency is anyway. That's part of the problem here. You have to be Mishayir how much silver the vase cost at the time that you broke it, and return that amount of silver. And if you're not going to return the silver, then you have to return whatever the shove kesef is, or whatever the matbeah is, that will buy that quantity of silver. Now, if that's correct, then there is a clear distinction between tashlumei gezel, tashlumei mazik, and halvoah. Because insofar as halvoah is concerned, the loiva who borrows a matbeah returns the matbeah, not the number of matbeahs that are required to purchase a similar amount of silver. That we have in, it goes back to last week's Chabur. If I was right last week, then the Hesber is very simple. Then the Hesber is, because if I borrow Matbeis, whatever the Matbeis are, I'm mechuyiv to return the Matbeis. It's so beso, it's the so beso the Chazal didn't answer. It's not the pshat that I was in the Kabbalah myself to pay the shavius of what I borrowed, but I was mekabel to return the matbeah, and with a tnai it becomes matbeah to b'yisisho or whatever. So that in any event, the malva who returns the madeya that he borrowed is in effect returning a saw b'saw, only it's a saw b'saw that Chazal didn't ask for. We then have a raya, or at least a teres, to what is to me a very strong kasha, and that is, again, it's hard, but I don't know where to start from. But my problem in part is, what are our matbeis? What are our banknotes? If our matbeis and our banknotes aren't kesef, and clearly they're not kesef anymore, then why isn't there a nisar sol b'sol? Why, when you borrow a dollar bill and return a dollar bill, isn't there a nisar sol b'sol? It's not the kesef of the Gemara. If I'm right in this, then their Chazal never asked saw the saw in Madbeis. We'll soon have to see what is called the Madbeis and what's the Madbeis Hayetzeh and the Gedorim of what is Mut and what is Oser. But this would explain why no one seriously raises the problem of how you can return the same number of coins or banknotes that you borrowed, why it isn't saw the saw. And this we have clearly in the Gemara. If I was right in my analysis of the Gemara last week, then we have a clear raya from the Machlekes Rishonim in Pichas al HaMatbeis. Chosif al HaMatbeis is the Gemara that we saw. Pichas al HaMatbeis, Machlekes the Ravid and the Rif. And if you're mechuyif to return it, you're mechuyif to make up the Geroyin, only because of Seder the Malva. And I explained Seder the Malva last week, and maybe it's a Chiddush. If it's a Chiddush, then I'm bringing a Raya from my own Chiddush. I don't know. Otherwise, I don't understand those Rishonim. But if I was right in that analysis, then Moisif al-Hamadeh was the Rif L'Shitosoi. The Rif L'Shitosoi maintained that every Halvor was al-Hamadeh because he was Masnamadeh HaYetzeh. We read such a condition into the transaction, and therefore we read into this transaction that there will be a Pichas al-Hamadeh, that he will have to be Memale V'Chesorin. Why? Because he is, that's how I explained, Malba al-Hamadeh HaYetzeh, because he stipulated Matbeya Hayotzeh. I'm borrowing Matbeya Hayotzeh. I will return the Matbeya Hayotzeh. It's what I borrowed. That's the mean I borrowed. That's the mean I'm going to return. The mean is defined as Matbeya Hayotzeh. Memela Pichas al Matbeya. I agree to return the original Matbeya, even though in terms of the Shavius of Kesef, of bullion of Kesef is Spishi, it may have fluctuated. If so, then I have a Gemara with Fereshes that tells me that Chazal were never Gezer saw the saw with regard to Matbeyas. So I dealt with the problem of saw the saw, which bothered me anyway, but in any event, to go back to the basic point that I was making, the Tashlumin of a Leve, then, if I'm correct, are quite different from the tashlumin of a gazlan or a matzah. And I'm explaining why. Because it's true that the tivo is kesef, we're on a kesef standard, but in terms of halvura, it's so b'so, I have to return what I borrowed from you, and who cares about the value? So b'so and chitin, I return the so chitin without looking what it's worth for sure. But one because I offered that in makabel b'domin. In matzahs, I'm not mechuyif in makabel b'domin in the shavius or the shavius of kesef, therefore I return the matbeya that I borrowed. I also think that I have a raya from the Chavas Das, but since the Chavas Das is also so confusing, I'll put that aside for at least a minute. Yeah.
Your underlying assumption is that our notes are only
shovel
kesef and not
kesef? My underlying assumption is that a banknote isn't silver. It's not a silver certificate.
But is it
kesef? I don't know. That's the second problem. I'll probably have to talk about that in a second. Yes, it affects many. Yeah, I can't get away from it. I have to talk about it. But I'm starting with a hanofe that even if it's, I don't know what you meant by kesef. If you meant money, it's not silver. If it's money, maybe, but it's certainly not silver. That silver can't be.
Can I lend, when I do solve this out of can I lend the pieces and promise to pay back in dollars? The answer must be yes.
The answer must be yes.
Okay.
And my problem is why?
Okay.
Right, that's the next problem.
Okay.
Right, that's the next problem. How can I repay in a matbeya, in a certificate? That's I borrowed one from my, and I agreed to pay.
Okay, you can't sell the car. You can't just leave yourself.
Right. All right. The question then is really, what is money? And that takes me to what seems to be a steer to everything that I said. And I originally didn't understand the steer, but now in a certain sense, I won't say it's poshut, I understand it now. That's, and that goes to the shaila of what is money. When that, there, again, a whole list of achronim, I don't know where to start and I don't know where to stop. Once upon a time, most achronim understood banknotes as being shtars. I have Reb Shlomo Pluger in the Elif Lachor Shlomo who says that. I have an Yontif who says it. That, you know, as long as you were dealing with a silver certificate, which was a shtar on the Eitzar HaMelech, you go into the bank and they give you a bag of silver or a silver dollar that had real silver in it, I understood how it's a shtar, you assume it's a shtar. And then you had the Chassam Sofer's problem. He wants to know whether you could be paid a Maaser Sheni on it, whether you use it for Pidyon HaBen, or more significantly, in his problems, whether there's a Chiyuv Shavua, and where Mechayev Shavua is all, the theory at least, all the time on money, and is there what about a Shemer, is a Shemer Chayiv? And more significantly, which he doesn't talk about, but I found some one Akron reference, I know it! That's the money changing. If it's stories, there's ain't no interesting in stories. Maybe that was a shadow that didn't come up so often. But does it have it in the star or doesn't have it in the star? Most of the Achronim seem to hold that those were stories. Nothing more than the star and finished. The Elif Lachor Shlomo, Shlomo Kluger, he had a real problem. If it's a star, then if I borrow one, I return it. So it's all the soul. It's not guessing. It's not a Madeya. I'm bringing Raya from Madeyas. The Gemara was talking about some kind of a Madeya, but not a Shtar. So it's all the Saw. How is it, Mutra? He's the only one that I know who raises the question at all. That is the Saw the Saw and should be Osir. Everybody else who has a different theory for explaining what the place of money is or its categorization, halacha, should have at least been Meir of the Shaila and explained it in one way or another. It's certainly not Kesef. As we'll see in a second, whatever it is, the Kesef it can't be. So the Shlomo Kluger answers, first he says that Shtoris, there's no ribbons derived in Shtoris. That's a Machlokes Tataz Mechavas Das. But, you know, I'll give you a star for $100 and you return me another star for $150. So it's machlegis betas, machabas das, machlegis among the achronim, whether that's ribas derais or ribas derabonon. I said, if it's only ribas derabonon, so they were in geis, so the saw, and what's only ribas derabonon to start with? Ribas mamish would only be a derabonon. So maybe the value of the star will go up and you're paying more than you borrowed. Kula high, they weren't, didn't make it gzeirah. Male in Kabbalah, in the Kabbalah, I mean, the Kasha is better than the Terrors, because the Kasha is machnis you into the Machlokes Achronim, and those Achronim were already living at Tkufa when there were banknotes around. Fine. The Chassam Sofer has, and this doesn't explain fiat money. And there was such a thing as fiat money, even in those days, or maybe, I don't know, by the time of Shlomo Kluger, there must have been. Yeah, but he didn't live in America. but in Europe, I presume that there was real fiat money. Everybody knows what fiat money means. It means just the mouth who says it's worth it, and there's nothing backing it. You get nothing for it when you go to the bank. It's the glare of some mouth who's finished. And that he doesn't even talk about. You know, but that at least so he doesn't raise the problem so far. The Chassam Sofer is, in this long chain, the Chassam Sofer does talk about what is essentially fiat money, and he says that there's a shvuah, and there's chiyuv hashomrim, and you treat it like kesef, and he presents a monetary theory. He says that all of these things that are nisnayis, from shvuah, from chiyuv hashomrim, from a north, whatever you want, it's all because it's oimid l'raya. The ikir is the raya shibur. Even if it's written on a passive kesef and a nechashis, nobody wants the value of this piece of nechashis because the raya is worth a lot more. Masha ein kein, the banknote that the melech issues, if you won't accept it, it's nischai v'risha l'malchus. That's why the melech banknote is different from the banknote of even the Oshir HaYisr Godli, probably not Rothschild. Rothschild is only a shtar, but the melech isn't a shtar because you're not using it instrumentally to get something else. You're taking it not because the melech is going to give you silver for it, although he will. You're taking it because it's not Nischai V'Roshay LeMelech. And I even found in some later Achronim, what about this Zmanenu? All it is, it's legal tender, so you won't be able to sue in a court of law if he gives you a United States currency. You don't want to take it, so he'll laugh at you, like, I won't give you anything else. You'll take this or nothing, but nobody will put you in jail if you refuse to accept it. Nothing will happen to you. Is this Kahai Gavne, is this also Bichlal, the Chassam Sofer's Kesef? Meila, I don't think it's so hard to say this. Bechalakson Sefer Keser. Bifrat, since I think that the logical conclusion is not the Chassam Sefer, but the Chazon Ish, which goes a step beyond the Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer remains with a Sofik, or you can be told to Meister Sheni with the Chassam Sefer. That to him is no problem, because people accept it for the Tzura. It's got a Tzura also. They take it for what it is, because Mela Setzel, so what? But the Pidyon HaBen, where the Torah gave a kitzvah of 5 shkoli, and even though you can say it was dishovely, but you're not saying it was dishovely because you want to, it's only because the Melech said so, who the Melech is not a balabos on the Melech Malachi Hamlochim, and that remains for him for a tzorachim. The Chassam Sefer, in effect, says, that's how I would distinguish between the Chassam Sefer and the Chazon Ish. The Chassam Sefer, in effect, says that fiat money is worthless. Well, it makes no difference. If it's a Xeris HaMelech, it's not a Midlaraya anymore. So it's worthless. So what? As long as it's not a Midlaraya. Something that's a Midlaraya is a Shtar. Something that's worthless isn't a Midlaraya either. The Melech said, take it, you take it. In other words, a Midlaraya is a Greyesa. It's like a Psul. It makes it worse than anything else, and it has Ithalochas. But if it's not something that's a Midlaraya you accept for any other reason, who cares what the reason is? Even if you know it's worthless, and you take it even though it's worthless, that's a moment. So it's got a din of moment. But Kesef, it can't be. Moment it might be. It's not silver. It doesn't suddenly become silver. The Chazon Ish goes a step further. And if I understand the Chazon Ish correctly, I'm adding things that aren't in the Chazon Ish. But the Chazon Ish in one point says something which Barshak Ivanti, I always assumed it as a Dover Poshet, and in a couple of occasions I've had it, before I had seen the Chazon Ish, people laughed at me when I said it. Like, not the Chazon Ish said it, alright? And that is that money, any kind of money, gold, silver, wampum, money is money for the strangest of all reasons. It's money, A, because it's a scarce commodity, and B, only because it's intrinsically useless. What can you do with gold? You can't do anything with gold. There is nothing more useless in the universe than gold. You can use it for fillings. That's a modern use of gold. It's a conductor of electricity. Very nice. Until recently, there was no use at all. And even today, its utilitarian value is limited, to which everybody objects. You use it for jewelry. The kash is, why do you use it for jewelry? If you'll take an ordinary piece of brass and paint it gold, you won't be able to tell the difference. You can't tell the difference between a zircon and a diamond. Between 14 karat gold and 22 karat gold, nobody can tell the difference except a mumche. And he's got to go assay it to go find out. So why does a sheikh pay so much more for pure gold, for 22 karat gold, and for 14 karat gold, or more than brass? It's because this is a way of flaunting wealth. It's ostentation. That's all it is. You're showing people how wealthy you are, and it's become accepted in society. It's meshuge, and that's why you use it as money. It's scarce, therefore there's little of it around, so you can concentrate great wealth in small quantities, and you can hand it back and forth, and this becomes money. What is money? Money is a surplus commodity that I seek only when I have all the other commodities that I need. It's only because I have enough food and water and clothing that I can afford to walk around with money in my pocket. Otherwise, I wouldn't be having this money. When I've got too many commodities and don't know what to do with them, if I put it into commodities, they'll become nirkar. So I need something which has, I should have added the third thing, yeah, something that doesn't spoil. You can't use as money something that's going to spoil. It's got to be a scarce commodity, it's got to be useless, and it's got to be something that won't spoil. It's the third night. Chazon Ish doesn't mention the third night. But that becomes monetized. In some societies, it's gold and silver. In other societies, it's wampum. But intrinsically, it has no value at all. It only has value because of haskamas b'nei adam. And this haskamas b'nei adam comes from motives that aren't entirely laudatory. Maybe I saw it someplace, but there's a Gemara Machon Shenogu. The Gemara says, Gimel dvarim olu machshov liboros, v'im loy olu din hu shiyalu. What are the three things? Al hamesh yasriach, because if not, nobody would ever bury the mess, and that's not good for the world. Val hamesh yishtakach min halev, that's the flip side of the coin. You got to forget about it after you buried him. Val atzvua shetirka, because if not, people would corner the market, and they keep the tzvua, they hoard it, and they drive the prices up. The yeshemrin al hamadeish yetzay, that's the yeshemrin, that they were gimel dvorim olu machshav liboreis. Rebbeinu Shlomo planned this.
And if not, we have to create them. No, the Magbeya, the Ratra Rashon, the Chusha Godis, Magbeya Shiyetzai, the others are psychological, the minimum, Neshi Shtakat Nelei. That's part of the Teb, that's part of the Bria. The Magbeya, the Melech makes the Magbeya, Haskamas Nayodam, but it's totally in the Rabbeinish Leila. And what's the reason for it? So I don't know, this is Rashi, it's not Rashi. On the side, there's a note, whether it's a Ksav Yad of a Rashi Yoshan, or whether it was somebody else, I don't know. The Mloikain, Bamelho Yanim, Spanasin, Shamblehem, Avoidat, Soda, the Pharaoh. If you don't have money, you can't give tzedakah. I mean, Lanias Daiti, it's very simple. You couldn't have commerce without money. And it's Allah Machshav Liboris, the Rabbeinu Shlom, gave the Taivas moment to human beings, which is not necessarily good, just like the Eitz Sahara for our Royus isn't good. But if you don't have the Eitz Sahara at all, then there's not going to be period for idiot. If you don't have the Eitz Sahara for Moisaris, then you're not going to have anything to give the Oni. You're not going to have commerce. Society can't function. You've got to have a monetary system. The Rabbeinu Shloim, sure, it's that the Melech makes the Magbeya B'Yetzei. That's only because that's an imprint upon the psyche. The Rabbeinu Shloim was Olah B'Machshav Liboris. And that's not B'dinu. We would have had to make it up by ourselves if it wouldn't be human nature. We'd have to look for some artificial means of forcing people to want money. But if they didn't want money, we couldn't possibly have a society that operates on commerce. We would have no economy. Melech, the Chazon Ish doesn't say it in the Gemara, but the Chazon Ish says that that's what money is. He says that the Matbeya is whatever people are masking should be the Matbeya. But it's totally in Heskin B'nei Odom. The Matbeya itself is essentially worthless, and it's Meisrus. He says both. It's worthless and it's Meisrus. But whatever people want to be the Matbeya is the Matbeya. And says he, therefore, the Matbeya that we have, even though it's Niyor, what difference does it make? That's the Haskomas B'nei Odom. Therefore, you can use it for Pidyon HaBen too. So, to characterize the distinction between the Sam Sofer and the Chazon Ish, I would say that for the Sam Sofer, money is worthless. But as long as it's not Oymid L'Raya, it doesn't have a Din of Ishtaros, I would put it the grace of Ishtar. For the Chazon Ish, what difference does it make whether it's worthless or it's not worthless? If people want it, it becomes worthful. He with him, the emphasis is on its value. The Haskamas Nayodom gives it the value. For the Chasam Sofer, it's not the Haskamas Nayodom that gives it the value. It's the fact that in Metzius I give the value even though I don't recognize it as a value. But in Tzchayev Reisha Lamelech, whatever. But for the Chazon Ish, it's because people, even though it has no value, if people are willing to accept it as having value, its value is no different from Kesef and Zohar, which are also valueless. He says a paper dollar is no more and no less valuable than Zohar and Kesef. Zohar and Kesef is intrinsically useless, and paper is intrinsically useless. It becomes valuable only on the basis of Haskomas B'nei Odom.
Nothing has value for sale.
Except when you talk about bread and water, I know what its value is. Its value is because I can eat it. That gives. I don't know how to measure the value of apples against oranges, but I know why it's valuable. Why can't I be Makabish Nisha with an apple? I understand why. It's a circuit. You can do something with it. What do you do with gold? And before you can do the fulfilling, what is it? But the Chazon Ish goes a step further. The Chazon Ish says that once upon a time, money was Kesef and Zohar. Today, money is the Matbeya HaYetzei. That's money. And if you go ask him what I asked before, how will you be Mishayer Gazlan? If I understand the Chazon Ish correctly, it's Simonayan days in your day. If I understand the Chazon Ish correctly, the Gazlan will become Mechuyiv in the number of dollars that it takes to replace a mean vase, and you'll treat inflation for the mazik the same way you treat inflation for the malva, which to me at first sounded mind-boggling. And the Chazon Ish himself sounded strange. He says, in Jane, well, what's going on here? The Mishpatei HaTzeira are totally in Heskin B'nei Odom. And what if you'll be living in a society where there's no monetary system, what will the Gazlan pay? So he goes into all kinds of tukim.
He says maybe maybe there's a chiyuv to make a monetary system. We don't talk about the Gemara in Ayin Beis. But the Hechsha Mitzvah, you can't have dinin ziki without a monetary system. So you have to establish a matzeit. That becomes a mitzvah in and of itself. That's why he presents it as a possibility. Or he says, you'll, if there is no monetary system, then you'll have to give him whatever it takes to get a minvaz. Why, I don't quite know. Or he says, what's his third possibility? He has a third possibility. That, if there's nothing else, then you'll be forced to go back to Kesson. Why? Because the Torah gets Kesson for 50 Nabet. I mean, well, it's for it. But you know, this became a problem. And at first, I didn't understand it. What kind of business is this? Where do you see such a thing? We have a Gemara. The Gemara says that Kesef is Tivo. We know for Sol, the Sol, everything operates on Kesef. Why shouldn't Fiyuvi Tashlumin of a Mazik or of a Ganav also be in Kesef? If Kol Terekul is in Kesef, it means that Kesef is Tivo. Mele, I went back to the Gemara in the beginning of Hazov, and the Chazanish I'm still not sure that it's a Dover portion, but I understand at least. I understand what the Chazanish is saying. If you take a look at the Gemara, we have the Gemara says, Matzli Reb Shimon Brei Hazov Kaine Hakesef. Omale, Rebbe, Shanislo Nabiyal Desecho Hakesef Kaine Hazov. The tax of the tish, the lonam zik nesecho, hazov, kreinis hakesef. The yaldusay maisova, the zik nusay maisova, sef machlokes. Rebbe be yaldusay, and Rebbe the zik nusay. The yaldusay sovar, da havo, de choshiv, havitivo. Gold is more choshiv than kesef, whatever that means. It's scarcer. The equal quantity has greater value. That is caution. Therefore, he thought that was the standard. Kaspa de lechoshiv avipere. Biziknusi sovar. Kaspa de choriv avitivo. Dahavo de lechoriv avipere. Now note, the economic conditions didn't change. The monetary system didn't change. Nothing changed during the lifetime of Rebbe. There was no rampant inflation, no wide fluctuation of gold against silver. In the Yaldusa, he thought that choshi, whatever is the most expensive commodity, that becomes the matbeya. In Ziknusa, he thought that it was totally in charifus, in whatever is charif. No psukim, no rayas. This was a svar. Neile, if the halach would be like Rebbe, be Yaldusay, then Zohov would be the tivo and could never be supplanted except maybe by platinum. Maybe Rebbe would have agreed that Bismanenu, platinum is choshiv. There's less of it, and smaller quantities are worth more than equal quantities of gold. Neile, I don't know. Once he tells me that it's totally in charifus. If it's totally in charifus, then who says it's halacha mishnah nisina that's always kesef? Charifus Rashi defines yetzei b'heitzoa v'oiver l'soicher. Whatever it is that yetzei b'heitzoa and is oiver l'soicher, that's tivo. So for kol hateir kula, for everything, that becomes tivo. Everything else is peirit. If that's what the Chazanish meant, then I have a chiddush. I don't know if it's a chiddush or it's not a chiddush. Here I'm confused. Right? I don't know what's a chiddush and what's simple. Then it would turn out if I ask the kasha banknote for a banknote, so to so, that's tivo. That's the matbeya. Adarabe, if you were now to borrow kesef and to return kesef in an equal amount, that would be so to so. Because in our society, what's the tivo? The tivo is the dollar bill. And you couldn't borrow a matbey of kesef to return a matbey of kesef or a quantity of kesef for kesef, because whatever is tivo in any zman, any mokim, that is the matbey of shulter. I think that's what the Chazanish means. Even though I'm not sure he takes it to its logical conclusion. I think that other Achronim disagreed with him. Now, I may be confused in part because they had different matbeis at the same time, but there are a lot of shuvas and there are a lot of sources dealing with situations in which there is fluctuation in value. The Chabad Das, in particular, seems to hold that fluctuations in a matbeis are so-so. he says that to be masna on a matbeya to return the same amount of this matbeya is sovisol. Now, it may be limited in a certain case. Maybe we'll see it later. Maybe not. It's a difficult kabbalah. Some achrayim say that others are chaylik on him. Some say they're not chaylik on him. It's problematic. But the Chavos Das seems to be saying that at least in some matveyas, to take one matveya and to be masna to return precisely that matveya, that is tantamount to tzol b'tzol, which seems to be connected to Chazanish. Now again, that in the Gemara, if I was right in my analysis of the Gemara held it wasn't offered. But they were operating in a Medina where the Kesef was the Matveya. Maybe the Chavos Das is also dealing only in such a situation where you're dealing where you've got a Matveya of Kesef and that is the Matveya Hayetze. That's the Tivo because that's Korit and that's what's Evel Lesecha. Maybe we'll come back to that later. But then I found in one of the Piskei Din Rabbonim something that I thought was entirely bizarre. There was a shaila there which seemed to be me a simple shaila. I didn't know why you needed a psak din of 20 pages. A husband and wife got divorced, and it was mechayiv himself hazaka shalodim child support, and it was index. Now the shaila is not rivets, but is the dover shein kotsuv, is an asmachte. Forget the asmachte shaila. The dover shein kotsuv seems to me to be a simple thing. A mechayiv a husband who is going to support his children, not to give the children money. I'm mechayiv to give him bread and milk and whatever you feed children. And what's the index saying? That's how you measure it. That's how much milk and meat you need. You know, that goes into the sal, and what they call the basket. So that's not a dover. To me, that doesn't sound like a dover shana kotsuv, particularly in a case where you're being mechayiv the hazok. And more than that, you're not being mechayiv. You're mechayiv to give him orange juice in the morning and Rice Krispies or whatever else he can eat. Mele, every time he's going to come to Nuchi, the Shliach Benton or the Safra, the Dinah, how much is it today? So we assessed it at a certain value and we indexed it to the sal. So we shouldn't have to make the cheshbon on every given day. But basically, you're being mechayiv him what goes into the basket, not the money to buy the basket. To me, it seemed like a simple problem. But there's a whole long arichus in which the one who wrote the tshuva talks about the matayis, quotes the chazanish, and says that that's fine, except when there's rampant inflation. When there's rampant inflation in Eretz Yisrael and not in the rest of the world, then the chazanish has to be wrong. I'll show it to you. I didn't begin to understand it. I still don't understand it. And I'm not mechuyev to understand it. I think it's psoch of the tailing. I'm not mechuyev to understand it. But Shafti Varisi, he's probably right, but laf mitame. Or he should have explained it. I think that he's probably right, at least in Eretz Yisrael, when this was written, and it'll have common asking as well halacha, if the Chazanish means what I think the Chazanish means, then why is the Matbeyo the standard? And why is Matveya Kesef? And why isn't there a problem of Sol v'Sol, v'chulei v'chulei? Because the Matveya of today, whether it's Niyor or Kesef or Nefeshes or Zod, is Rebbe Biziknuse. Rebbe Biziknuse says that Kesef against Zod is the Matveya because it's Choris. What does Choris mean, says Rashi? Yetze b'hitzo v'oiver l'aseche. Rashi adds the word. Oiver laseifer, not just Yetzer Beitzor, but Oiver laseifer. Everybody knows that in any Medina, whether it's Eretz Yisrael of the 50s or Argentina of the 80s or 90s, nobody wants the local currency. They'll take it because they have to. Xeris HaMelech, or nobody has anything else. But what's Oiver laseifer, the shopkeeper will anytime sell for dollars rather than the person who's going to present another matbeya. When people don't want that country's matbeya, but instead want something else, under those circumstances, I don't think the Chazanish says what he says. In that case, the matbeya is no longer what he says it is. What it is, I'm not sure. But it's no longer kesef legavi zod. In those medinas, the matbeya can't have the din of kesef. And if I'm right, then it goes a step further. Then in Eretz Yisrael in those days, it would have been also to lend pounds for pounds. and in Argentina, it would be also to lend astrals for astrals, because it's not tivul. That's not the tivul. Go back to being mishayer and kesef. If there's nothing else to be mishayer, or maybe even the American dollar, if that is what is the standard in international transactions, whatever it is, that becomes the tivul. That becomes what is chorus. Now I remember writing about shilas of Eretz Yisrael. Are you allowed to lend dollars for dollars? Because in Eretz Yisrael, the pound is the standard currency, and the dollar should be peyre in Eretz Yisrael. And everybody was matzah. They were matzah because everybody wanted it. It was as much the currency as the pound. But if the Chazon Ish is right, then not only is it mutzah to lend a dollar for a dollar, but it's also to lend a shekel for a shekel when nobody wants the shkolim. They take it only adeatzchak, when it's not over lasoicha. And you know, whatever he wrote there in the Pesach Din about the Chazon Ish not applying in Eretz Yisrael, it didn't make sense to me at first. But if you analyze it in terms of the Gemara and Reish Hazov, it seems to me that it's correct. At least the Maskon is correct. I think it's Iker Chosam in Hachuvah. He should have said it. He should have said that for the Chazon Ish, it's only because Kesef for Rebbe Bezeknusay wasn't Aloha Mishim Sinai. It's because it was Chorif, and therefore the standard is whatever it is that is Chorif. Menele, in Dinteiris involving a Ganiv or a Mazik, it'll also be the same thing. Take Argentina, forget Eretz Yisrael. Argentina, where you've got, what is it, 2,000% inflation? Now, who knows what it is? You'll have to be Mishayer, either in Kesef, or maybe even in the dollar, I'm not sure. But if nothing else, would be Mishayer in Kesef, not in the local currency. Because that is the standard. The Chazon Ish, I don't know. Well, it seems to me the Chazon Ish couldn't possibly say that that is the standard in a place where there is rampant inflation, if he meant it's the standard because it's Tivol, and because it's Chorit, it's Yitzvah Yitzvah, and it's Oivra Lasayichir. It's not Yitzvah Yitzvah, it's not Oivra Lasayichir. The only problem is that the Chazon Ish does not explicitly relate this is the Gemara in the beginning of Azot. So I don't know. If I'm right in the Chazon Ish, Meila, all of this follows. If I'm not right in the Chazon Ish, then it doesn't follow. All right? That's the first part of the problem. The second part of the problem, and it will be the Inyan, L'Inyan, Baisa Inyan, and this will deal now with Ribbis problems. Following hypothetical case, the newspapers report that a couple of weeks ago, Gorbachev passed the $50 and $100 rubles in Russia. And he gave everybody 72 hours, I think later it was extended for a little, for another day or two, to exchange either 1 month's salary or was it 250, later went up to 300, whatever it was, 300 rubles, and after the time elapsed, it's the Madesha Baslof and Marcus, you can't use $50 and $100 rubles in the Soviet Union, and to the best of my knowledge, you can't spend it in Nishon either. There's no place that you can spend these $100 rubles. Now, and you know, whatever his considerations were, don't interest me right now. That becomes a matter of small novels. Now, and you know, during this period of time, I saw one place people were trying to change it, but nobody would accept it. Why they didn't go to a post office and buy 5 kopeckis stamp and get change, I don't know. But apparently some people, that's what I would have done if I had 100 ruble notes. Go to every post office and then change every 100 ruble note. But they instead managed to, the people were trying to get stopped by the policeman for traffic infraction to be fined 10 or 20 rubles. They'd pay with a 100 ruble note and get back 80. But people were looking for ways to get rid of these rubles. So we have now the following shaila. We have somebody in Russia who a year ago lent somebody else 1,000 rubles in 10, 100 ruble notes. And now it's time to repay. And the person wants to repay 10, 100 ruble notes. No, this is a matzah plus loss and malchus, or so it seems. And I won't enter into the shaila if the zman hapiroin was before, the zman hapiroin was afterwards. This lachura becomes mamish the shaila of the Gemara. During that 72-hour period, or the 5-day period, whatever it was, when this was still Yetzibah Hitzoyah, I'm sure, you know, it was still legal tender, But I'm sure that people were not accepting them at face value, if they were accepting them at all. But it was still, it wasn't Poslos in Malchus at that time. As a result, during that interim period, it went down in value. So that if somebody borrowed 1,000 rubles in 20 ruble notes and wants to repay 10, 1,000 rubles, I don't see how he could possibly do so. He's repaying, particularly if I'm right, that in general, a person's mechuyev in the means that he borrowed, and wherever there is al hamatei, it's a tnai and a matei hayotzei, but he has to repay basically the means that he borrowed, and not a means that's worth less than he borrowed. However, the person who borrowed 100 ruble notes during those 72 hours, this is not a matei shepos losim alfus. This matbeah is still matbeah hayetze. You could still pay your Russian taxes with it. You could do other things with it. It was still, people were buying it. Not only that, but for reasons I don't entirely understand, there was a black market that grew up. People were buying these 100 ruble notes, whether it was for 5 rubles or for 10 rubles, I don't know. What was in their minds, I also don't know. Maybe they think that's like the Tsarist bonds. You know, eventually they think they're going to be paid.
Or they have a way to trade them into small currency.
But they had a bribe, something in the bank, you know. Who knows? But it's not irrelevant. To me, it's irrelevant. The point is that during that period, it still had a shavius. Now, if it had a shavius during that period, and if I was right last time, then it seems to me, again, a chiddush. I don't know if I'm right, but tentatively, it would seem to me as follows. There are two sources. One is a Tshuva Netzam Sefer, which I think is simple, and the other is a Chazanish, which I also think is simple, but my application may not be quite so simple. The Chazanish Sefer has a series of Tshuvas dealing with what happened in revaluation after the Napoleonic Wars. The Melech called in the Shtoris, and for 5 he gave you 1. For 500 he gave you 100. And the Chasam Sofer held that everybody who owed money had to repay one for one. You borrowed 500, I don't know what they were, francs, marks, whatever they were, you had to pay back 500. But to you, 500 was 2,500 because you had to go to the bank and give 500 and get back only 100. But this was good for the bankers. It was good for the wealthy people. Wealthy people got richer. Why? I won't know why he did this. I don't know. It's a separate problem. But he did it. And the Chasam Sofer said that as far as throwing chayv is concerned, did the Machus Adina, you have to pay back what the Melech says to pay back, which was 5 times the value of what you had borrowed. And Mordechai Benet disagreed with him, and they both ignore all the earlier sources dealing with did the Machus Adina, doesn't apply, Ayam Shel Shloime, and there's a Shach and a Taz. Garnish, they got a Machlekes there, whether there's did the Machus Adina, there's not did the Machus Adina. And this is a parenthetical, it seems to me that there's a writing of Reshus from the Gemara, because the Gemara says that when there's an Urchel in Mishon and they're captive and not Bachashi, and the Chasam Sofer himself says that the Gemara must be speaking in a case where the Melech didn't want you to pay your own debts in those coins. So, and the Gemara is saying that you're allowed to do this. Not only allowed to do it, but it gives you the shavius. Apparently, the Gemara held that there's no din of machusa with regard to the peroin of the chayv. Certainly, as far as peroin of the chayv is concerned, the Gemara says there's no din of machusa din. I'm not entering into that now. That's clear machlokes achronim, whether there is din of machusa in peroin chayv, and they go talk about whether this is l'tzerech hamelech, or it's not l'tzerech hamelech, but what does the melech care about private chayvus? And the ones who say that it does apply, so sure it makes the melech cares, because he's worried about his economy. If you're going to pay back in some other way, you're going to ruin this whole economy. So there's din machus supply. Mele, that's a separate fashion. But says the Chasam Sofer, Jews borrowed money not as a simple halvor. They borrowed it as a heter iske, and he doesn't speak about it. It seems that the Melech would have recognized that a heter iske is an iske, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. Din machus is din machus. I don't know today what an American court would say about a heter iske. Once upon a time, the American court said that it wasn't a halvor, it was what we say it is. But who knows? But Mele, some say this operating on the principle that Din of the Malchus, must be operating on the principle that Din of the Malchus recognized the heter iske as we recognize it. So he says that, look what happens. I lent somebody 100 of these, 1,000 of these madeis. Half is a pikodin and half is a milvah. The half that is a pikodin on the day before the melech changed his matbeis, everything that was worth 500 suddenly becomes worth 100. It's zol, it goes down in terms of the matbeis, because the price of everything went down by 80%. If I get only $1 for five, then I'm only going to spend 20 cents for what I spent a dollar for yesterday. So the seira went down and it's only worth 100. And the other 500, that remains a milva. So you'll pay back 600, says the Chassam Sofer, not 1,000. As with the scene thought, if you're going with Din the Machlus to pay 1,000. If you're not dealing with Din the Machlus to pay 200, says the Chassam Sofer, you'll pay 500 with Din the Machlus, that's all good. The other is only the Sheira that you own, and that is now only that was worth only 100 at the time of the devaluation. So you'll pay what it was worth the day before the devaluation, or it was revaluation. See, oh, 600. Not the Cheshman's a good Cheshman. I think he was right. But he adds something else, again, parenthetically. And here, again, I'm confused. I've had many times Balei Tshuva, or people who didn't realize, they entered into Halvois, and they didn't realize that they needed a Heter Iskin. And then suddenly they come, what can they do? How can you be Misakin this L'mafreya? You can't write a Heter Iskin L'mafreya. So, says the Chassam Sofer, that if they're pikhin, he'll pay immediately on the day that the melech changes. He'll pay you 600, and he'll take it back as a pal to mil v'pal v'pikodin, which means now he can get revochim on 300, because otherwise, from now on, he's going to get revochim only on 100. Right? That's the cashman. What is the pikodin? The pikodin's only 100. The 500 is all four. That you can't get revochim. Good. So there's another tshuva that sounds safer, not in these tshuvas. These are the Ribbis tshuvas. There's another one in which the other one is the one on the Madeya, what's called money. There he was dealing with Momin Yisraimim, and he says, Bezin Vadim Shal Yisraimim, and we're masking immediately. The day the Melech changed it, and the Yisraimim also only owe 600, but we exchanged it for Palgan Mil for Palgan Pikod. That I don't understand. Without a Chazor, how did it suddenly become Palgan Mil for Palgan Pikod? Where was the Peroim? There was no priyatzchay to turn it into a milva. Where did he turn the halvah into a pikodin? What made it into a pikodin? What is it that we change? Where is it? Now the pikodin, where's the kinyan from the pikodin? You have to have das for all of this. I don't know how it happens. Even with Momin Shal Yisraelim, why it happens automatically. And if it happens in Momin Shal Yisraelim, because we're Adin Shal Yisraelim, then don't we have an umtna that should happen every place? That's besides the case. In any event, that's one place where I find this. The second place where I find this is the Chazanish. The Chazanish talks about devaluation. And he says, devaluation usually follows inflation. Devaluation, we'll talk about in a second. But devaluation, he thinks, you have to pay in terms of what it was worth before the devaluation. But only at the shahr on the day that it was devalued. You have to look at the value of the money the day before it was devalued, and it depreciated on because of inflation. It was worth a lot less. So you have to return the value of the, you got $100 that you borrowed in 1980. Between 1980 and 1990, the dollar went way down. And now if the dollar will be devalued, you will have to, you now $1 turns into $2, you will pay $2 for $1, but not for the $1 that you borrowed. You will pay for whatever the erech of the dollar was at the time that it was devalued. In other words, you'll have to make up the devaluation part of the pichus, but you won't have to make up what was devalued on the basis of inflation. You're not going to look at 1980 dollars and translate them to numadeya. You will look at how many 1990 dollars you would have had to use to repay and translate those 1990 dollars and their purchasing power into the numadeya that we are going to issue. Alright? If that's the case, then I think that we had it in Tehran involving our Russians. Were they 1,000 rubles? That, of course, he can't give back 1,000 rubles today anymore. Why not? Because this is a Matbeish Nisola. It's Nisola Gambe. It's not Yetzir B'Mishra. But he should have to pay in today's rubles the value of the 1,000 rubles in 100 ruble notes the day before it became Nisal, and the day before it became Nisal was worth 10 rubles, not 100 rubles. It was still a Mateh HaYetze, and look at its value. That was the value that it had, Bishuk. This is all true, unless you hold like the Maharaj Dam. Left times Maharaj Dam. The Maharaj Dam creates a numdine, at least in the case of a Malv Al HaMateh. If I want a Mateh HaYetze, so he says, I want full value, etc., 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 and therefore you have to pay the full value in the new Mateh. According to the Maharaj Dam, if there is such a numdine, so I agree, in effect, how do I explain the umdine? That I would like to talk of the new. I agree to pay not the mean, but to pay the shavius. The shavius is the shavius in kesef. I have to give you as many rubles as can buy as much silver as I could have bought with 1,000 rubles when I borrowed them. So it seems to me that's totally the Maharaj Dam. The Maharaj Dam says, I'm not pleased with Saradin, if it's a Malva Alva Matveya. Some of them seem to quote him all the time. As I read the Maharaj Dam, he says to such an umne, only a Malva Alva Matveya. You see, he was trying to protect himself. So he certainly wanted to protect himself from this too. But again, remember that the Shita Sarif and Rashi Acher Chazor apparently is that every halva is Alva Matveya. And the Achrenim say that if you have anything in writing that says money, you mean Alva Matveya. So alright, so according to the Maharaj Dam, we have such an umne there. The Achrenim claim that the Chavos Das is chelik on the Maharaj Dam, and the Chavos Das calls this so, that to go be masna daskia, the good coins, that's so. That's this Chavos Das. If indeed there's a machlokes, the Chavos Das and the Maharaj Dam, or if there are people who are chelik on the Maharaj Dam, then it seems to me they should be able to say kimli. I don't want to get, who says I look like the Maharaj Dam, who says it's such a numdine? Memela, I will return in the old Matthias, or, and not the old Matthias, but what the old Matthias were worth at the time that became Paslos and Malchus. In other words, what I'm saying is based on the Tram Sefer and the Chazainish, who were Mestaber, that the value of the Matthias is the value the minute before with Paslos and Malchus. When it's Paslosi Malchus, then it's worthless. It's Nisbah. But the minute before it was Paslosi Malchus, it was only Piches. So if it was only Piches, that's all I have to return is the value of the Piches.
That's not a realistic level, but when the government sets a 72-hour deadline, 30 seconds before the 72-hour deadline, 100 ruble coins are worth nothing.
I expected you to say that. I'd have to know whether that's true or not. I suspect that the same people who are buying it for 10 ruble before the deadline are probably buying it today for 2 ruble.
Well, I mean, it might be worth
you're right.
Near.
Right. That depends on the Matthias. It's a question of Matthias. Are the people standing on the street corners of Moscow trying to buy these rubles an hour before the deadline, or they all suddenly disappear? If they all suddenly disappear, then you're right. Whatever. I don't know. Do we look an hour before? Maybe we should look an hour before. I don't quite know what to do with it. But if it had a value up to the moment of Paslos and Malchus, then it seems to me that it's clear for the Chazanish and Sam Sofer that you mechuyif only in what it was worth before then. If you're correct, then it would seem to me, and maybe I'm wrong, it would seem to me that its value will be what its last value was when it was Yetzer B'Shar.
Yes.
Whatever it was.
Within the 72 hours.
No, within the 72 hours. It had a value. That wasn't for Slothor. During the 72 hours, it had a value sometime.
It might have never been Yetzer B'Shar. It might have only had a value secular.
That may be a Shar. Who says it's not a Shar? They had a Shar. As long as they're takers, as many people want to present it, so it has a Shar.
It's not counter.
What difference does it make? But the Matei is still Yetzer. It's Piches. Matei is worth less. Who says it has to, everybody has to want to take it? So what? That doesn't mean it's not a Matei. It's Yetzer Atzkar. That's what's called. The Matei is Yetzer Atzkar. Those are bonds.
Well, the Zara's currency is going at a heavy discount after Mother's Day. So it's pretty heavy.
But now it's for Sloss and Malchus. That's different. The Malchus didn't postulate during that time.
the czarist currency today is Poslosi Malchus. It's got no value. Poslosi Malchus, the Gemara tells me, is Nisak. Fine. Everybody knows it's Nisak. I see it for well, you know, that's the whole lumpus of the Gemara. Masha'ein came before it's Poslosi Malchus, and nobody wants it. That's not Nisak. I look at it, it's not for well, who it seems to me that's Nisak.
Even when the reason why it's going down in value is because Poslosi Malchus is right around the corner.
Yes. What's the difference? It's going to possible tomorrow. And that's why it went down today. That's what I don't have. That's the missing element. I don't have the Seirish in the Chazanish. But it seems to me that the Chazanish is correct. What difference does it make? Still Jaysa.
Because the Chazanish case isn't talking about deflation.
I understand
it. It's in anticipation of devaluation.
Talking about inflation. And then there's a devaluation.
What's the distinguish the case where there's inflation? In Israel, I think you're wrong, but you may be right. In Israel, inflation, there's an inflation.
And there is also inflation in anticipation of devaluation.
It could be that these two cases become empirically different.
Right. The Chazaini, actually, you may be right, because he says that if it's Zayla Peiret, because they don't have any Eimun in the Matbeya, that is Pichis ala Matbeya. That's what he says. And I don't know what Eimun means. I don't know what he's talking about. It's part of what I have problems with. That comes to the next point. But that goes then into the devaluation problems, or the inflation problems. So, then that leads me directly to point number three.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Well, is it all clear that this whole case applies when the government isn't tough us as a whole coin system that only eliminates a single note? The Russians still operate all the other cases we're talking about where the government's operating, eliminate all the rubles.
No.
Why would I lend a person 1,000 rubles? Should how much I get back depend on what types of notes he gives me?
On the basis of what I said last time, it's because I have to return the matbeya that I took from you. And 1,000 ruble matbeya is a different matbeya from 100 ruble matbeya.
It doesn't seem to go against
the law
against
the yes. Yeah, of course it's all nitno. And we always assume that a halvor means I'm going to pay you back its value. My whole kiddush last time was that halvor doesn't mean I'm going to pay you back its value. I'm giving back what I took from you, the species I took from you. I think
and
that
the when you say we're species, you say the 20 dollar notes.
Yeah, it's a different right.
Seems a little counterintuitive.
No, in the Gemara, in Zman HaGemara, it certainly was that way because they didn't. We work on a 10 system, a decimal system, and there everything is in multiples of 10. In the time of the Gemara, they had different Mabeis, and the Melch didn't have to possible the whole system. He could have possible one and not the other. Yeah, Mabeis of Kass of Azov and the Chesh.
They were different coins.
Different coins. It operates side by side. I think for purposes of Halacha, and again, maybe I'm wrong on this, I think that the different currencies aren't the different denominations aren't part of the same system.
So, in your Halacha right case, when I land 1,000 rubles, 10 rubles, 10 rubles, I get 1,000 rubles back.
Right.
And
you made the mistake of lending these 100 ruble notes to get back
to it. Seems more logical given, I don't know how American
agree.
Currency works. In American currency, nobody's up to, I always see
Nobody was knocked it in Russia either until this week. Khrushchev came, but as Zamin Ham saw it, would never have occurred to anybody.
So, shouldn't logic treat these all as one type of currency? Again, I agree with you, but I would say to you that stuff all in the other
cases. If logic treats this as one type of currency, then you have a system in which you have 25 dinari kesef in one dinar zov, you should also treat it as one currency. And they didn't.
Because
one fluctuates against the other.
Right, because the relationship between.
Only when the melech insisted. Only when the melech was pisa for pisa
for in a currency system like our currency system, that's impossible. Can you imagine the government saying, now on $6, make it a $5 bill?
Yes, Khrushchev did it.
No.
Before Khrushchev, it wouldn't have occurred to me.
He
could easily have said, and he could have done the same thing. He could have said, from now on, you've got to give me 6 100 ruble notes if you want to get 500 worth of 20s. That would have been made more sense. Right?
Yeah, I find that to be totally illogical.
What he did was more logical.
Sure.
No, on the contrary. What he did was confiscatory.
Confiscatory, I agree, but I mean, to say that you need to have $6 $5 bills to get a $20 bill, it's crazy. It's not illogical. It's crazy. How can the government say you get a $5 bill, you need to produce six things? That's mathematics. not economically foolish, they change the way they treat it. Right. The relationship between a $1 bill and a $5 bill isn't the relationship between a dinar and a proof or a nisari talki, which the relationship between them fluctuates. The government doesn't have. The relationship between a $1 bill and a $5 bill are fixed. The relationship between a $5 bill and a $5 bill are fixed. The government might evaluate the whole system. It might, in fact, even cut off the top of the system. But the government, I just couldn't imagine the government saying it takes five fives to get a $20 bill. I don't know, we have economists here.
We'll soon need the economists. But what you're saying is absolutely logical, and what Khrushchev did is absolutely illogical. But if you assume that there is a saw-to-saw concept operating here,
mm-hmm.
then the species that I borrowed is the species that I borrowed. This was a matvei of 100.
The species that you borrowed is rubles,
no,
not 100 rubles.
I borrowed 100 rubles. The species I borrowed was 100
that's
rubles.
Where's the riot of that?
With the riot that arises that
from species
are 100 rubles rather than rubles. From Madeya Hayetzer. The riot is from Madeya Hayetzer because that's the whole point of being Masne on Madeya Hayetzer, that I want to be Zekifal of the Milvi and the Shavuot. Because otherwise, the Madeya that I have lent, the Melech and Pasol.
You mean Dean, when I lend you $1,000 and $100 bills, I can require that you give me back $100 bills for something?
I don't think you can require that I give you back $100 bills with Hatzila when they're all worth the same for the simple reason that a Baal Chayiv is never mechuyav to pay back so to so. He can always pay back in Kesser. He has the right to pay back in Kesser. He's got Hadir. And so to so, Hachomim Asr to the bargain. What the Hachomim hadn't offered it, could you demand the so? I'm not sure. Chazan seems to think you could. But it seems to me that the Tashlumin are always in Kesser. And show the kesef I can't force, the kesef I can force, and I should be able to force it, take kesef, because that's the din of tashlumi. That's the seder of tashlumi, the third was mechayiv. But basically, the chiyuv is the chiyuv of what I borrowed from you. And when I'm giving you kesef, or whatever is kesef, and this medina, whatever is yetzeh, it's called kesef, that's why I can force you to take it.
So I agree, so I left 1,000 rubles, why can't I demand back 1,000 rubles?
Because the halacha said, what the halacha said, I always give you show the kesef. I'm giving you my 20 rubles as the shava kesef of 1,000.
I think that might, if 20 rubles is now the shava kesef, 1,000 rubles that I could
make. No. Make a different point. I borrow 100 rubles. I have to give you back a 100 ruble. And if I give you back 520s and you don't like it, I'm forcing you to take it to Teiris shava kesef. Only here is a case where the Teir allows you to force payment in shava kesef. It's shove the hundreds I borrow from you. It's not what I borrow. Only this is a kind of shove kesef that you can't refuse to accept. Without a halach confession mission that says that I can demand kesef if you have it, then you can always give me shove kesef. And if you don't have kesef, you can't force me to take shove kesef. Sometimes at least. I'm arguing that the din of 20, that when you pay me back 20 rubles, and I don't want to be bothered with 20 rubles, because it's easier for me to stuff a 100 ruble note under my mattress, a $100 bill under my mattress, and you're forcing me to take the 20s, it's with a din of shavu kesef of chachomim permitted. They weren't mevatel that din of shavu kesef. That's part of the seder at tashlumin. The dinim of tashlumin, that they were, they didn't say that you can't do that. But Miyitra Hadin, you know, debate in terms of the agreement of returning one for the other, you have to give me the 100. That's what I said last time. And it seems to me that even though we're dealing with a unitary system, it's all rubles or all dollars, that in economy, every matbeya is different. It's a matbeya. It's not a transcendental ruble out there. I borrowed the matbeya. This is the matbeya I borrowed.
Why isn't every serial number different?
Why isn't every serial number different?
Yeah. Number,
that's called so to so. I never return what I borrowed. I return the means that I borrowed, and the number doesn't make it a different mean. The bill makes it a different mean. Horaya, you can possible one without possibling the whole. Khrushchev proved
it
for me.
They can possible different dollar means. They can possible all the dollar numbers to begin with the serial number A.
Sure they can. And that would then all the ones begin with the serial number A.
Yeah,
because
the government issues serial number A.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that every serial number then would have become a different meaning. The Khrushchev would do that. Gorbachev, I'm sorry, I got the wrong man.
No.
If Gorbachev were now to apostle only the 100 rubles to begin with A, I think the same result would be. We'd have to look and see, did you borrow A's or B's?
Okay.
Maybe I would make it into a different meaning. Otherwise, the whole thing becomes mind-boggling. I don't know how to change it anymore. L'chur, if he passed only that series, then that was the matdeya that I borrowed, and that's the matdeya he passed. Others he didn't pass. Let me go to the third problem, devaluation. The standard forms of devaluation, to me, sound like pichas al hamadeya. And here we need Rabbi Shine in his capacity as Professor Shine. The standard form of devaluation today, you know, once upon a time it operated differently, but today if a country devalues, it devalues against either the dollar or a basket of currencies. What does that mean? It means that the currency can, at least in the free world, we've got currency that's exchangeable with matdeya zara. It means that a currency has a certain value vis-a-vis the dollar. So instead of getting little bags of silver, I have currency that can be exchanged in a central bank for a dollar. And if the government devalues the currency by 50%, it says you have to give me, instead of one shekel for a dollar, you have to give me two shekels for a dollar. What does that mean? It means that in each dollar, there's now only 50, each shekel is now 50 cents instead of a dollar. That's how my mind displaces this. If that's true, then if I want to know, I borrowed 100 shekels, and the government devalued the shkolim by 10%, 20%, 50%. Do I pay the new shkolim or the old shkolim? To me, the answer is very simple. How much was it pichis al hamatbeye? Is it more than the chemish or less than the chemish? If it's less than the chemish, then we forget about it. If it's more than the chemish, then we have a machlokes to rise in the rift, and I'm here with my keenly. But forgetting the Kimli and the Machlekes, Raivit and Rias, it seems to me to be a classic case of Pichas al Hamatbeya. At least devaluation as it is carried out today. It's not Poslose Malchus, we possibly the old Vishnu, what have you. But we are devaluing vis-a-vis some other currency. That means the other currency has become the standard. It's like the Kesef, which this is drawn against. And we have now said that there is now less Kesef, or less of the basket, or less of the dollar in each one of our currencies, in each one of the units of our currency. So look and see whether it is more than 20% or less than 20%. And I feel in Tim Salomar, it's more than 20%, and it seems to me that Mahlek is the Rivid and the Rift, and maybe now you have to pull in the Maharaj down with his umdenis. If it's a Hilva al Hamadeya, there may be an umdene that just like he wanted the Madeya Hayetze, he wanted the full value of the Madeya Hayetze. And there's no Isser of Saw B'Saw to do this, says the Maharshtan. The Chavetz Chaim seems to say there is an Isser of Saw B'Saw to insist on the old ones, or the value of the old ones. And L'chura, the Chavetz Chaim seems to be right. It goes back to what I said before. According to the Chazon Ish, I'm not so sure anymore. The Chazon Ish himself says that the Chazon Ish seems to say that devaluation is like Pichas al Hamatbeya. And then he talks about inflation, or if the currency lost value because of imun, whatever that may mean, because people don't trust it for whatever reason. That leads to inflation. And many of the tshuvas I've seen, they seem to equate devaluation and inflation as if it be the same thing. That inflation is pichas al hamadeya. It wasn't until the third time that I looked at the tshuva that I realized he was talking about inflation. I thought it was a tshuva on devaluation. And that's in the Minchas Yitzchak. But he was talking about inflation, not devaluation. The whole tshuva, it's only when you look at the keteris, and you go back to the big block letters describing the shailot, you realize there was no devaluation, there was only inflation. The others, there's two things that appeared in the Hamor. One is the Ravialis, the terrible problems of inflation, and the whole tshuva deals, the sources he cites, all deal with Poslos and Malchus. What Poslos and Malchus has to do with devaluation, with inflation, I'm sorry, I haven't the vaguest notion. Then, the next issue, there's an editorial, or art, I don't know what it is, from the Eirech of the Hamor, and he talks about the terrible things that are happening. There are people who borrowed money to buy houses in Borough Park and Flatbush, and they bought houses for 25 alofim, and today they're worth 70 and 80 alofim. And the poor people who lent them the money are still paying $300 a month rent. And when you come to ask them for more money because the dollar because it's in inflation, they scream, ribis, 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 they don't give you more. And how terrible all of this is. This is terrible. I looked at it, what doesn't make sense? Of course, obvious. What's this? This is the standard. The standard is the dollar for whatever reason. And then I shot this for Isi. I'm not sure anymore. Maybe they're right. Belav mitamom. Let me try to explain. According to the Chazon Ish, obviously the matbeya is the dollar. It's not silver. And I feel in Tim Soleimar that the halvor and dinin nezokin have to be measured the way I said against silver, but certainly not a halvor of dollars, because if I was right, then dollars are the one thing that you're allowed to lend so to so. However, one thing may be correct, even for me. That is that you might be allowed to index the dollar to silver. To be zeikiv the dollar in its value in silver and to pay back the value in silver. According to Chazon Ish l'chura not. But if we're operating on a silver standard and Chazal treated Kesef as the standard, then l'chura indexing to silver might be mutar parker. I have problems explaining how you can pay dollars for dollars to flow to silver. So that indexing to silver might be mutar, but clearly only if you index. As I said last time, if you don't index, then you clearly were mechayiv yourself in this mean, and the mean is called a dollar, but nothing more. However, and here I need, fortunately or unfortunately, Professor Schein brought in the books I asked for only right before the Chabur. I might have nothing to say if I'd read the books. But if I understand the American monetary system, our money is neither a shtarchei, it's not a silver certificate, there are no silver certificates anymore. Once upon a time there were, and it's not fiat money. It's not just the government prints money. Instead, how does it work, at least officially, how does it work? I'll try to explain it as I understand it, and Professor Schein will correct me if I'm wrong. There is a certain amount of gold in Fort Knox, and that is what backs the currency. The government issues paper money based upon what's there in Fort Knox. And this rudimentary, right? Some of this money finds its way into the bank. The bank then proceeds to lend money to somebody who wants to buy a house, and it gets a mortgage from the person. The mortgage is the collateral securing the loan of the $100,000 to buy the house. But now the bank doesn't have any money left. They can't lend money to anybody else because it already lent to the first person. So what does the bank do? The bank goes to the Federal Reserve window. And what does the Federal Reserve window do? It says, give me your piece of paper, you've got a mortgage. The mortgage is property, it's valuable. We will now lend you against that mortgage. Not 100% of the loan, we'll give you 80%, 90%, whatever it is. In effect, the Federal Reserve has accepted this mortgage as the collateral for the money that's lent. But where does it get the money? It doesn't have any money. It's got to go print the money. And it prints money on the basis, not of the gold in Fort Knox, but it's printing money on the basis of the mortgage that the bank has taken in exchange for the first money that was backed by the gold in Fort Knox. Then this goes on. The bank now has more money, so it lends money a second time. It lends money a second time, and we get another mortgage, and we go back to the Federal Reserve window. All of this is very nice. And we have now lots of money in circulation, and this is all backed by the whole banking system. But everybody knows that the Federal Reserve controls the amount of money in circulation at will. And it does this for whatever its monetary policy happens to be at any given time, because everybody knows that the more money in circulation, the higher the prices of commodities are going to be, because there's a surplus of money and a deficiency in the commodities. It's supply and demand, relatively speaking. There's more money vis-a-vis the constant of the commodities that are available for purchase, and therefore the more money there is chasing the commodities, which presumably remain more or less stable, the value of money is going to go up or to go down. To me, this sounds, the whole process sounds like a pichis al hamatbeya. What is the government doing? The government is starting by assuming that we don't just print money and say accept it because that's the Gzeiras HaMalchus. The government is starting with a certain amount of money that exists, and then the government, in effect, is printing more money on the basis of whatever it's doing, but as a result, there is bound to be inflation. The inflation results from the fact that we have a pichus al hamadbeis. We have diluted what is backing the currency in printing the currency, particularly when the government intervenes, not by printing money on the basis of the mortgage, but when the government itself starts borrowing from the banks, when it sells treasury notes, and then issues new currency against its own treasury notes. That's where the pichus al hamatbeis comes in. When the government begins accepting its own treasury notes as the basis of printing new money, this in effect is diluting the basket of valuta, gold, silver, mortgages, whatever the bank accepts as collateral, and that in effect becomes a pichus al hamatbeis. No, pichus al hamatbeis doesn't bother us unless it's zilpeiret. But when it's zilpeiret because of pichus al hamatbeis, then the Gemara tells us you've got to readjust what you're paying. If so, if I'm right, if the theory is correct, then, and here you need an economist to tell you, the amount of inflation that is directly attributable to the printing of money, that inflation is zilpeiret k'neged the matbeah. It's pichus al hamatbeah, it's hesef al hamatbeah, pichus al hamatbeah, whichever it is. And it's now zilpeiret as a result of the additional money in circulation. If you can attribute the inflation directly to that, and for this, you've got to be an economist, because I certainly don't know how to do it. If it is possible to factor out all of this, then l'chura, that much is not zilpeiret, but it's hukrapeiret. And if hukrapeiret, you have to make good. Remember, we go back now to the Ravid and to the Rif, the whole business, because of Pseid of the Malva, then mitzvah hadin you be mechuyev to make up that part of the inflation, or whatever inflation is directly attributable to that. However, if that sounds like a chiddush, I can minimize it by saying it seems to me you've got a machlokes rishonim. You always say kimli that the Gemara is only limited to esif al hamatbeis, not pichus al hamatbeis, and this is hukra peira because of pichus al hamatbeis. So always say kimli. He doesn't want to return it, but basically it turns out to be, if I'm right in my analysis of the monetary system, our inflation that results from the printing of money, at least in part, is hukra peira because of the pichus al hamatbeis. Our inflation is a result of what I interpret as being a pichus al hamatbeis. The government has printed more money. It'll be just fiat money. You know, it comes out, it's paradoxical. In Argentina, he's got no claim for anything extra, even though the inflation is 2,000%. Because that's the matbeah, and that's it. It's no dinus nuis, or so besor. You have the chazay nish, you have some slave, you have whatever you want. And the government prints whatever it wants. It's fiat money. Fiat money is money. Money is money. You pay what you borrowed. Who cares how much is in circulation? It's bedaska because we're not dealing with fiat money. And the melech, when he prints more, is in effect diluting the value of the old. He is issuing it directly against the old. And in effect, he is making it a zila, a hukra peira, because he was pichus al hamatbeis. He pretends it's all covered, only he's issued more against the same coverage. If he's issued more against the same coverage, then it seems to me it's pichas al mateya and it's sukkah payer, and you have machlokes rishonim. I suppose some economists would turn around and tell me that this isn't right, that this is how they try to pass it off, that it's really fiat money. That's. I'm sorry?
I wasn't sure about you.
I know it's not gold.
But everything in, I mean, point three, any inflation is always due to an increase in money supply. And deflation is always due to a decrease in money supply. It's the only way it possibly could ever have inflation.
Well,